Welcome to the Air Force Doctrine Podcast. My name is Keith Conway. On this episode, I interview the top three finalists from the Spring 2024 Inspiring Doctrinal Innovation Essay Contest. The topic of this spring's essay contest was artificial intelligence and how it will change our operational doctrine. Join us as they discuss their papers and offer insight into the future of artificial intelligence in Air Force operations.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for being here. Welcome to this episode of the Air Force Doctrine Podcast, where we're going to interview our three essay contest winners from the Spring 2024 IDI Essay Contest. So without further ado, we'll just introduce the winners. So third place here is Major Matthew White, second place, Tech Sergeant Matthew Calhoun, and first place is First Lieutenant Ian Palmer. As a reminder for our listening audience, the prompt for the Spring 2024 Essay Contest was to write an essay on how artificial intelligence will necessitate changes to U.S. Air Force doctrine. So that's what their papers were about. They did a great job writing their essays. They were a pleasure to read. The essays are available to read on AUIX's website as well as doctrine.af.mil. We'll just get right into it. Wanted to give our paper writers a chance to introduce themselves and introduce their papers. So we'll go to Major Matthew White. Tell us about yourself.
Thanks again for hosting the event and really enjoyed thinking through this problem set. Something that's been on the radar for me for many years. You know, just on my background, I started out getting an electrical engineering degree through the Citadel, joined the Air Force as a 62E developmental engineer. I did a tour up at the Air Force Research Lab as a lieutenant, followed on at Eglin in the Electronic Warfare Group, doing all sorts of fun and exciting adventures there, and then had a few assignments now with the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center, first in the Weather Systems Programs Office, and now I'm back down in the Armament Center. So got to see a little bit of the entire product lifecycle from a few different perspectives. It seems to me that pieces and parts of the AI puzzle have started to emerge along the way. So I thought that was kind of interesting and tried to add that into the paper that I had thought up. My paper came about as kind of a thought experiment from one of my senior leaders here at Eglin, who thought through a problem of new technologies in basically bucketing them in four different ways. Where one, where if you had a status quo environment where neither you or your opponent was using an emerging technology, in this case AI, then another, if you had the advantage and they did not, the third event would be if your opponent got there first, and then the fourth would be if both you and your opponent had some sort of new technology. And you can look at this, you know, historically through the advancements in nuclear weapons, low observables, things like that, that really change the dynamics of warfare. From there, I kind of thought through the changes that you'd have to make to try to be successful in any one of those. And given the current geopolitical events, I tried to limit myself to thinking through how the introduction of a battlefield AI, specifically one that could collapse its own OODA loop and do its own systematic targeting, target prioritization, and then strike execution and battlefield assessment, to the pursuit of whatever your battlefield commander was looking to accomplish. We see, you know, some of the early possibilities of this in the war in Ukraine right now, with the introduction of things like micro drones and very small targeted strikes, where you have limited investment of resources from a platform like that, but get a very high return. And I kind of just thought through what would be the next step if an AI was able to do that targeting and you didn't have to have a person on the back end of each one of those platforms. So that's kind of how I approach my essay. And I think we got a number of good ideas out of it.
Your paper talks about, it has the matrix that you're talking about with the four different conditions of having the artificial intelligence technology between an adversary and the United States. So that was a great way to break this down and think about the four different possible scenarios that we could potentially face. And then you had some good discussions on training artificial intelligence, and then how artificial intelligence, especially the battlefield AI you're discussing, affects AFDP 3.0 for operations and AFDP 1-1 for mission command and targeting. So being able to distribute some of those processes down to a lower level, then operate a very fast OODA loop. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later when we get into the other papers, but thank you. Yeah, excellent paper, excellent work. Tech Sergeant Matthew Calhoun, coming to us from Colorado. Please tell us about yourself and tell us about your paper.
Good morning. I'm Tech Sergeant Matthew Calhoun, and I'm pretty humbled to be here. Thank you for putting this together and the whole Curtis LeMay Center for kind of holding this essay contest. It was a lot more research, a lot more knowledge, so many things going on that I didn't even begin to consider beforehand. So it was a steep learning curve, to be sure. So my AFSC is 1-2 Charlie, which officially falls under the umbrella of signals intelligence. Currently, I'm at Buckley Space Force Base, Colorado, where my duty title is NCOIC of signals analysis. My essay starts out with a short introduction, noting how AI is already a part of our society and increasingly part of the Air Force as well, and that there are many advantages, disadvantages, factors, and variables to consider. And from there, I quickly moved into the core competencies, focusing on how AI will enhance air superiority, ISR, which stands for intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, rapid global mobility, and global strike. And in this section, I focus much more on the pros and the cons, having opted to focus on the potential advantages of AI for these competencies and how they'll be made better for the future. Then in the following section, I get into some specific doctrines. I chose 4: counter air, counter land, sea burn, your chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear, and legal support. I chose these 4 because it seemed like out of all the publications I researched, these 4 would likely be especially relevant in the short term as AI becomes more important. And it is in this section where I do start pointing out some limitations and concerns regarding AI and just complexities that it'll add to the operational picture. And I tried my best to predict how these factors would require some slight amendments or maybe even significant amendments to Air Force doctrine. Then in the last section, I talk about several operational challenges for commanders to consider, and I round it all out by emphasizing that AI is just a tool and it could never replace our airmen, and that we cannot afford to let AI allow us to become lazy. Just anything like that. We don't want to be lazy because of AI, just like with any new development. Finally, my conclusion is also brief, but highlights AI as being one of the biggest developments for the military since the airplane came about, and generally noting that with this expanded capability, we'll also have greater responsibility moving forward. So in a nutshell, that's my essay. Thank you again for having me here.
Yeah, man, I was really impressed by the part of your paper where you talk about operational challenges caused by AI. And the statement you make about not letting AI let us be lazy, I thought that was very insightful. And the line where you said AI will ironically make it necessary for American and allied forces to understand themselves better. Understanding ourselves and understanding the AI and how it works will be critical to using the AI so that we understand the decisions that it makes and understand how those decisions impact what we do. So AI, just a tool, like you said, but it, like any other tool, just like a calculator, you still got to understand how you are applying it in a given situation. So great thoughts there on the application of artificial intelligence to future combat operations.
I'm First Lieutenant Ian Palmer. I'm an EC-130H Compass Call Electronic Warfare Officer out of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Arizona. I did my undergraduate degree at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where I studied computer science. And my first assignment was at MIT as well with the Department of the Air Force MIT AI Accelerator, where I was able to stay at MIT and work on my master's degree in computer science, all focused on artificial intelligence and specifically looking at how AI could address some challenge areas for the Air Force. So my research was in developing a data set called Spoken Object Net, which is intended to reduce some of the biases inherent in some other artificial intelligence data sets. So for this paper, I was able to take some of the experience I had working with artificial intelligence, coupled with some of the experiences I had while deployed to the 609th Air Operations Center couple those together to get at the question of how artificial intelligence could change U.S. Air Force doctrine. And the focus of my paper was really these three human-machine teaming concepts, those being human in the loop, human on the loop, and human out of the loop teaming. And these aren't really new concepts. These are sort of industry standard terminologies for how humans and machines interact. And then I also framed my essay in sort of a historical grounding with the first and second offsets. This specifically is based on Deputy Secretary of Defense Bob Work's third offset, which is focused on the integration of information age technologies, if you will, into how the Air Force operates. The current challenge we face is kind of a continuation of, you know, the first and second offsets, which were maybe a little bit focused on nuclear weapons and that strategic competition. So my paper proposes that operational commanders should be able to determine the human-machine teaming mode based on a number of different factors, being able to make that determination in real time in order to delegate certain authorities, operational authorities, whether that's an engagement authority, an identification authority, et cetera, to use a few specific examples. So delegate those authorities to machines and have a mechanism in doctrine by which they can specify the level of human oversight in that process. There are a few challenges that I note in my paper. The first of which is that artificial intelligences tend to behave as black boxes, and they don't really have much explainability into how or why they make decisions, which is a little bit discomforting from a military decision-making standpoint. Then there's also the possibility that artificial intelligences may make a mistake and may make a decision that a human wouldn't. And so there are challenges, certainly, when it comes to delegating military decision-making to an AI. That was the summary of my paper. I'll pass it back to you, Peps.
Thanks, Lieutenant Palmer. Your paper does a good job of explaining those teaming modes that you were discussing. And those terms, like you said, human in the loop, or human input is required for a process, then human on the loop, where the process occurs, but a human is present to validate or invalidate, can stop the process. And then you got full autonomy, human out of the loop. The machine is making its own decision. It's executing on the decision. The way that your paper characterizes those is it talks about those as good, and it talks about how even as we move through those processes, there's different amounts of risk involved in using those teaming modes. So as you move through the different modes, human in the loop, then on the loop, and then out of the loop, the risk level potentially goes up. And that's something that our commanders in an operational environment would be interested in knowing and interested in understanding what the risk is. So do you have any thoughts on how to characterize the risk of using an AI to a commander? I know there's a lot of potential scenarios, and everyone's familiar with like the Terminator movies, the Skynet, and there's the using AI to make decisions by itself obviously incurs some level of risk. How do we convey that to a commander? Any thoughts on that?
I think that's a great question. And it's challenging in particular because it can depend on the exact sort of system that is available at the time. And as artificial intelligence today isn't the artificial intelligence of 2 years ago. And so as these systems evolve and become more mature, they could very easily change over time. But there are a few metrics, I think, that operational commanders could use to inform their understanding of the risk involved. For instance, the performance of an AI in a testing or training environment. Generally, when evaluating an AI system, you'll look at the error rate, the loss of that system during training and testing. And so that could inform how good is this system at the task it is designed to solve. And then beyond that, in practice, I think there's a lot of similarities between this problem and, funnily enough, something like a self-driving vehicle. Well, really, human drivers want to understand the risk they're accepting when they're sitting in a self-driving vehicle. So I can tell you that this vehicle is 99.99% successful in driving, and what really does that mean? What is the incident rate expected per 1,000 hours of driving versus a human driver? Maybe that's a good metric that I'd want to know if I'm in a self-driving vehicle. But then there's always the challenge too, and we've seen this in practice with self-driving vehicles, where humans make a lot of mistakes while driving. That's not a secret. And self-driving vehicles also make mistakes. Even if they're making fewer mistakes on average, they get a lot of attention when they do make a mistake. So when somebody gets hurt in a self-driving car, there's a lot of scrutiny, where there maybe isn't as much scrutiny when a human's behind the wheel. I think the Air Force can take a lot of lessons from the commercial sector here, specifically with self-driving vehicles, when they're saying, okay, how are consumers understanding the risk versus how is the Joint Forces Commander understanding the risk of AI? It's a sort of funny place to draw inspiration from, but I think the commercial sector is working on that exact same sort of risk assessment.
What factors would you use to determine which human teaming mode can be employed? And should commanders delegate the selection of that teaming mode to weapon system operators?
I think a few of the biggest factors that an operational commander could use to determine the teaming mode, some are things like political considerations. Again, going back to the possibility of mistakes or something like the Air Force, you know, you might maybe, as an example, delegating some of your identification authority to an artificial intelligence system. How crowded is the airspace? Are there a lot of civilians operating in this airspace? That could absolutely be a consideration. That ties into ROEs as well. How tightly are you controlling the employment of weapons? Is this a very tightly controlled theater versus maybe in major combat operations, those ROEs are a little bit less restrictive. And then capabilities and tactics of an adversary, that's absolutely another factor. Is your adversary expected to test the limits of human decision-making bandwidth? In a sort of traditional air war, where your adversary is generating manned fighter sorties out of a few different bases, and that sort of falls within the bandwidth, if you will, of a traditional air operations center, maybe you don't need to utilize AI in your operational decision making. Now, on the other hand, if you have an adversary that is very adept at using high mass, or like leveraging mass and putting a lot of different potentially unmanned vehicles into the air at the same time to really stretch the limits of your decision making, you might absolutely need to lean more heavily on AI decision making at the operational level. It's intertwined too with other parts of doctrine, with specifically mission command or agile combat employment. You know, how centralized is your decision making? And that goes into your question about delegating teaming modes to the weapon system operators. You know, to an extent, if maybe as an example, if I'm an airborne ISR platform and I have a little box that can just do my mission, but do it better with a little bit of AI, that's something that can happen at the tactical level. But if I'm maybe in performing agile combat employment and I maybe don't have 100% uptime communication back to the operational commander, that could definitely be a case where the Joint Forces Commander could delegate some of that decision-making authority to maybe a forward operating station, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that understanding the risk posed by AI, that's what a lot of people are concerned about when we talk about how are we going to employ it? How is it going to be used? How much authority do you want to give to an artificial intelligence system? Do we understand it? That's something that I think a lot of people are concerned about. And so again, back to what Tech Sergeant Calhoun was saying, it behooves us to understand the system and understand how it works. Tech Sergeant Calhoun, you approached some of this in your paper as well. Your paper addresses some challenges to the Air Force presented by the use of AI. And a couple that you highlighted were an artificial intelligence, possibly using artificial intelligence to identify targets in a combat situation. And so potentially the AI misidentifies a target due to outgroup homogeneity bias or excluding a target from being identified due to confirmation bias. And can you briefly explain these examples and help us understand how operators of AI systems can identify and overcome those challenges that the AI is going to present?
And so Outgroup homogeneity bias essentially refers to the idea that our group is diverse, but that other group, their group members are mostly the same. And this can manifest itself in different ways. So for instance, I'm going to use our two main political parties. A group of Republicans may convene from time to time. Maybe they get together in their community, camaraderie, or whatever else. And over time, they notice their variety of their ideas and thought processes that they collectively have and how diverse they all really are, even though they all identify as Republicans. However, this same group, if they're thinking about the Democrats, well, they might, more than likely, they're going to see the Democrats as kind of being all the same or mostly the same, or they think the same way, or they believe the same things, when in reality, the Democrats have just as great a variety of ideas and thought processes that the Republicans do. And then they're also thinking of Republicans in that exact same way. Like, you know, those Republicans are all the same. So that's one way it can manifest. And in the U.S. military, we sometimes tend to look at an adversary in a similar way. And essentially, if an AI system does contain this sort of bias, and we either act or allow it to act prematurely, depending on the level that AI gets to, it could feasibly lead to a wrong course of action that operationally it could end up costing us greatly. We could misidentify a target because we think that the adversary's targets are one thing, and then it turns out they're a lot more varied than we thought. And then confirmation bias is the tendency we have to interpret evidence in a manner that supports what we already believe, instead of being open to alternative explanations. There's a saying, if it waddles like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, and it looks like a duck, then it's a duck. Many times in life that's true, but not always. Something like a military operation is going to be a little more complex than that, because in the military there's denial and deception. Adversaries try to lead one another astray and mislead as a strategy. That's a consideration as well. It's just another way that an AI system could make a wrong determination. And I think one of the best ways to combat these issues would be to employ either a subordinate officer or some other subject matter expert whose primary role is to study and know AI as much as possible. And especially when it comes to the calculation patterns and activities and so forth, and advise commanders accordingly from there. Exactly what that looks like, I don't know if it will get as big as needing a brand new AFSC or something like that, or if it's kind of just a special area of expertise, at least initially. I think that's open for debate, but I do expect that eventually anti-bias awareness will probably be incorporated into AI in some way. I think a prime thing to keep in mind is that any operators of AI systems will, at least from the outset, probably should go into an operation expecting that these sorts of biases exist. Kind of expect the unexpected with AI, and, you know, things aren't always what they seem. I think that's the number one point of this whole thing of biases. We think something is one thing, it could be something totally different. And of course, we don't want to attack the wrong target or engage the wrong target.
Okay. I think that a lot of that too comes back to how we train AIs and what data sets they're trained on will affect how the AI system is going to operate. So understanding how it was trained will help the operators understand how it's going to function and then possibly identify those biases sooner. So if the AI scans the battlefield and it's looking for a tank, it thinks it's looking for one thing, like you said, but in fact, it could be something completely different. And if an adversary uses deception and camouflage techniques on a tank, then maybe the AI misses it altogether. So I think that how we train it is going to affect that. Major White, I wanted to ask you about training AIs. your paper actually talks about the dangers in training artificial intelligence. So we always talk about how we shouldn't fight the last war, but how do we train an AI to make decisions for a future conflict when we don't understand the character of that conflict?
Right. So I think that's one of the main overarching problems that we have when we're facing any sort of an AI-related dilemma. Give it some thought here more recently, but I think you almost have to take a step back from the problem and not necessarily train an AI for a certain conflict or a very immediate need. But if you train it towards certain principles of war, you should be able to get a very viable solution. You know, we still have a law of armed conflict. We still have principles within the just war theory. We still teach very old principles regarding war. And those are still valuable because they teach decision-making processes and like some of our expectations and what we want as an outcome. If you are programming in overarching principles like that, I think you can get a very close solution to what you are ultimately trying to achieve. The other side of that is the acceptance of AI-based decision-making with your stakeholders and outside organizations. I went back, I was reading a few other topics related to robotic warfare the other day. You know, specifically, when we were in the war on terror, that was its own shifting of the Overton window, where it's instead of a person pulling a trigger or a pilot dropping a bomb, it's a guy in a bunker 10,000 miles away using a UAV to engage a target. And at some level, you know, there's a level of separation that we introduced into the system there that we weren't necessarily ready for. Some of the humanitarian organizations at the time, like the Red Cross or Amnesty International, things like that, they really didn't know how to approach that problem at the time. And I would expect that we're kind of in that same area now, where they just haven't thought through the problem themselves. They're still working on, we agree that using tons of landmines indiscriminately is wrong, quote unquote. And everyone mostly agrees on that. Just another level of discrimination that we need to have regarding those sorts of engagements. But going back to your programming in principles versus specific ROEs in historical warfighting strategies, we still address proportionality of a strike and the discrimination so you don't cause more destruction than you need. And I think as long as you keep those in mind, you can get pretty far down that decision-making pathway of figuring out what you should be allowing an AI to do on your behalf. Now, in more recent times, I think, from my perspective, our doctrine has been turned on its head, specifically in the war on terror and in conflict since then, because we don't have massed armies fighting each other where you can very easily distinguish between warfighters and civilians. And you have paramilitary groups that are, you know, using their civilian populations as a shield, so specifically to thwart what we consider to be good warfighting principles. That was a wrinkle during the war on terror, and I'm sure it's going to continue to be an issue here now into the future. But that said, AI by itself has a potential to not only really turn that principle on its head as well, because the decision-making capabilities of a properly tuned AI could possibly be far greater than what we're able to do with our current constructs and how we engage enemy forces. So it might come out to be to our benefit, you know, more than just being able to increase our decision-making capabilities.
That's going to do it for this week's podcast. This show is recorded, edited, and produced by the LeMay Center's Doctrine Outreach section. Special thanks to AUIX for hosting the IDI Essay Contest, Air University, and all of our essay contest participants. As always, the views expressed by our panel members are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Air University, the Air Force, or any government agency. I'm Keith Conway, and we will see you next time.